Harih Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahavilyankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chaitanopanayanam, Natyashastra, Chapter 25, Dealings of an Expert Gallant with Courtesans. Page 63, continuing with Krishna's qualities of highly learned. Regarding his moral principles, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is ruling over Vrindavan as death personified to the thieves, as pleasing bliss to the pious, as the most beautiful Cupid to the young girls, as the most munificent personality to the poor men. He is as refreshing as the full moon to his friends, and to his opponents he is the annihilating fire generated from Lord Shiva. Krishna, therefore, is the most perfect moralist in his reciprocal dealings with different kinds of persons. Right? In other words, it's exactly according to the mentality and everything. When he is death personified to the thieves, it is not that he is without moral principles or that he is cruel. He is still kind, because to punish thieves with death is to exhibit the highest quality of moral principles. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that he deals with different kinds of persons according to their dealing with him. Krishna's dealings with devotees and with non-devotees, although different, are equally good. Because Krishna is all good, his dealings with everyone are always good. Right, so then you see all the rules that are given in Manu and everything like that. These are all moral principles. What are the laws? How they're functioning and everything like that. That's all moral principles. Right? Then you know they take that may be a detail of a moral principle or an application of a moral principle, but they're all moral principles. Like that. So morality is much bigger than what generally it's used as. Yeah. 12. Highly intelligent. Right here, highly learned is different from learned. Right? Intelligence, highly intelligent is different. So that's why it's key to catch these phrases. And then you understand the usage, how they're being used. Because wherever Prabhupada says highly learned, he means exactly what's being explained here. Like that. Like he says Sudama Brahman is highly learned. He doesn't mean he's the greatest academic scholar. He means he has character and learning. So... you know, so there's just phrases, I see. A man is called intelligent if he has a sharp memory and fine discretion. As far as Krishna's memory is concerned, it is said that when he was studying in the school of Sandipani Muni in Avantipura, he showed such a sharp memory that by once taking instructions from the teacher, he immediately became perfect in any subject. Actually, his going to the school of Sandipani Muni was to show the people of the world that however great or ingenious one may be, he must go to higher authorities for general education. However great one may be, he must accept a teacher or a spiritual master. Krishna's fine discretion was exhibited when he was fighting with the untouchable king who attacked the city of Mathura. According to Vedic rites, those who are untouchable are not to be touched by the Kshatriya kings, not even for killing. Therefore, when the untouchable king seized the city of Mathura, Krishna did not think it wise to kill him directly with his own hand. Still, the king had to be killed. And therefore, Krishna decided with fine discretion that he should flee from the battlefield so that the untouchable king would chase him. He could then lead the king to the mountain where Muchukunda was lying asleep. Muchukunda had received a benediction from Kartikeya to the effect that when he awoke from his sleep, whomever he might see would at once be burnt to ashes. Therefore, Krishna thought it wise to lead the untouchable king to that cave, so that the king's presence would awaken Muchukunda, and he would at once be burned to ashes. Right, so then he would be given the proper treatment. He's killed by the Kshatriya and things like that. Also in a matter of justice aspect. But at the same time, is because it's by this benediction, just by seeing he would burn to ashes, then Muchukunda doesn't also become contaminated.
Yes.
Like that. You know, and then he gets to see his devotee, Muchukunda. You know, so many things are done at once. You know, that's covered in, that's another quality in another place. 13. Genius. A person is called genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there's a statement in Padyavali which contains the following conversation between Krishna and Radha. One morning when Krishna came to Radha, Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where is your vasa at present?" The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment my residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vasa as fragrance and said, "My dear fortune one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yamin yamu shita. Yamin yam means at night, and ushita means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word yamun ya mushita into two separate words, namely yamin ya and mushitaha. Right? So in other words, he moved that M. Right? By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all of the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened his dearest of gopis, right? Because it's playful, it's intelligent, you know, it's enthusiastic, you know, has that energy, it's very quick, and so in this way, then it's pleasing.
This is the application of other meanings other than the direct meaning.
Yes. But the point, he can give newer and newer. He can coming up with, you have to be really intelligent to do that. You know, to do it once, okay. And, you know, but you know how it's always, you say something and then afterwards, then you think, oh, I should have said this. You know, so yeah. But so people, you know, that quicker, then it comes at the same time. But then this here then means they can keep going with that. Artistic. One who can talk and dress himself very artistically is called vidagdha. This exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Sri Krishna. It is spoken of by Radharani as follows. "My dear friend, just see how Krishna has nicely composed songs, and how he dances and speaks funny words and plays on his flute, wearing such nice garlands. He has dressed himself in such an enchanting way, as though he had defeated all kinds of players at the chessboard. He lives wonderfully at the topmost height of artistic craftsmanship." Yeah. So we see is also in all these qualities, they're practically applied. Right? And it may not be exactly in the way that you might think, you know? But they're used in relationship with the different devotees. Clever. Sorry.
This vidagdha means vidagdha madhava is like expressing.
Yeah, just he's very, very, that quality of his artistic, you know, ability in his speaking, dressing, dealing, all these things.
Okay.
Clever. A person who can perform various types of work at once is called clever. In this connection, one of the gopis said, "My dear friends, just see the clever activities of Sri Krishna. He has composed nice songs about the cowherd boys and is pleasing the cows. By the movement of his eyes, he is pleasing the gopis. And at the same time, he is fighting with demons like Aristasura. In this way, he is sitting with different living entities in different ways, and he is thoroughly enjoying the situation. Right, so whoever is there, he's able to interact with them all at the same time. You'll see that quality come up a few times.
Yes.
Like that. 16. Expert. Any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is called expert. Without the expertise of Krishna, about the expertise of Krishna, there's a statement in the 10th canto of 59th chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Sukadev Goswami tells Maharaj Prickett. O best of the Kurus, Sri Krishna cut to pieces all the different weapons used by different fighters. Formerly, fighting was done by releasing different kinds of arrows. One party would release a certain arrow, and the other party had to defeat it by countering it with another arrow. For example, one party might release an arrow which would cause water to pour from the sky. And to counteract this, the opposing party would have to release an arrow which would immediately turn the water into clouds. So from this statement, it appears that Krishna was very expert in counteracting the enemy's arrows. Similarly, at the Rasa dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner. And Krishna immediately expanded himself into so many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side. Grateful. Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, when I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, Hey Govinda, this call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and his energy. So, to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. Another instance of Krishna's feeling of obligation is stated in connection with his dealings with Jambavan. When the Lord was present as Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan, the great king of the monkeys, rendered very faithful service to him. When the Lord again appeared as Lord Krishna, he married Jambavan's daughter and paid him all the respects that is usually given to superiors. Any honest person is obliged to his friend if some service has been rendered unto him. Since Krishna is the supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitor? Mm-hmm. Determined. Any person who observes regulative principles and fulfills his promises by practical activity is called determined. As far as the Lord's determination is concerned, there's an example in his dealings in the Harivamsa. This is in connection with Lord Krishna's fighting the king of heaven, Indra, who is forcibly deprived of the Parijata flower. Parijata is the kind of lotus flower grown on the heavenly planets. Once, Satyabhama, one of Krishna's queens, wanted that lotus flower, and Krishna promised to deliver it, but Indra refused to part with his Parijata flower. Therefore, there was a great fight, with Krishna and the Pandavas on one side, and all of the demigods on the other. Ultimately, Krishna defeated all of them and took the Parijata flower, which he presented to his queen. So in regard to that occurrence, Krishna told Narad Muni, My dear great sage of the demigods, now you can declare to the devotees in general and to the non-devotees in particular that in this matter of taking the Parijata flower, all the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Nagas, demon Rakshasas, the Yakshas, the Punagas, tried to defeat me, but none could make me break my promise to my queen. There's another promise by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita to the effect that his devotee will never be vanquished. So a sincere devotee who is always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord should know for certain that Krishna will never break his promise. He will always protect his devotees in every circumstance. Krishna showed how he fulfills his promise by delivering the Parijata flower to Satyabhama, by saving Draupadi from being insulted, and by freeing Arjuna from the attacks of all enemies. Yeah. 19. Expert judge of time and circumstances. Krishna is very expert in dealing with people according to circumstances, country, time, and paraphernalia. How he could take advantage of a particular time, circumstance, and person is expressed by him while talking to Uddhava about the rasa dance of the gopis. He says, "The most opportune time is the full moon night in autumn, like tonight. The best place within the universe is Vrindavan, and the most beautiful girls are the gopis. So, my dear friend, Uddhava, I think I should now take advantage of all these circumstances and engage myself in the rasa dance." I think this Uddhava is one of the coward boys, no? Isn't there an Uddhava there?
I'm not sure.
No, that's Ujjwala.
Ujjwala is a different person.
Yeah, that's good. But there might be. 20. Seer by the authority of the scriptures. Person who acts according to the tenets of scripture is called Shastra Chakshus. Shastra Chakshus means one who sees through the eyes of the authorized scripture. Because if you see in one way, that's how you act. How you see is how you act. Actually, any man of knowledge and experience should see everything through these books. For example, with our naked eye, we perceive the sun glow simply as some glaring substance. What we see through authorized books of science and other literature, we can understand how much greater the sun globe is than this earth and how powerful it is. So seeing things through the naked eye is not actually seeing. Seeing things through the authorized books or authorized teachers is the correct way to see. So, although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can see all that is past, present, and future, to teach the people in general, he used to always refer to the scriptures. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna was speaking as the supreme authority, he still mentioned and quoted Vedanta Sutra as authority. There is a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein a person jokingly says that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, is known as the seer through the Shastras. In order to establish his authority, however, he is now engaged in seeing the gopis, whereby the gopis are becoming maddened. Pure. There are two kinds of supreme purity. When one type is possessed, one is able to deliver a sinful person. When the other type is possessed, one does not do anything which is impure. Does that make sense? So it means you're pure, you can deliver others because of your purity, that association. Or you yourself are pure, you never do anything improper. Person who possesses either of these qualities is called supremely pure. Krishna is both. He can deliver all sinful conditioned souls, and at the same time he never does anything by which he can be contaminated. From this connection, Vidura, while trying to detach his elder brother Dhritarashtra from his familial attachment, said, "My dear brother, you just fix your mind in the lotus feet of Krishna, who is worshipped with beautiful erudite verses by great sages and saintly persons. Krishna is the supreme deliverer amongst all deliverers. Undoubtedly, there are great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. But their positions as deliverers depend always upon the mercy of Krishna." End quote. Therefore, Vidura advised his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to concentrate his mind and worship only Krishna. If one simply chants the holy name of Krishna, this holy name will rise within one's heart like the powerful sun and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance. Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to therefore think always of Krishna, so that the volumes of contaminations due to sinful activities would be washed off immediately. In Bhagavad Gita, also Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram. Bhagavad Gita 10.12, the Supreme Pure. There are many other instances exhibiting Krishna's supreme purity. 22. Self-controlled. A person who can control his senses fully is called Vashi, or self-controlled. In this connection, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. All the 16,000 wives of Krishna were so exquisitely beautiful, and their smiling and shyness were so... smiling and shyness were able to captivate the minds of great demigods like Lord Shiva. But still, they could not even agitate the mind of Krishna, in spite of their attractive feminine behavior. End quote. Every one of the thousands of wives of Krishna was thinking that Krishna was captivated by her feminine beauty. But this was not the case. Krishna is therefore the supreme control of the senses, and this is admitted in Bhagavad Gita, where he is addressed as Hrishikesha, the master of the senses. 23. Steadfast. A person who continues to work until his desired goal is achieved is called steadfast. There was a fight between Krishna and King Jambavan, and Krishna was able to take the valuable Shyamataka jewel from the king. The king tried to hide himself in the forest, but Krishna would not become discouraged. Krishna finally got the jewel by seeking out the king with great steadfastness. Forbearing. A person who tolerates all kinds of troubles, even though such troubles appear to be unbearable, is called forbearing. When Krishna was residing at the place of his spiritual master, he did not mind taking all troubles and rendering service to his guru. Although his body was very soft and delicate, it is the duty of the disciple to execute all services under the spiritual master, despite all kinds of difficulties. The disciple living at the residence of the spiritual master has to go begging from door to door and bring everything back to the spiritual master. When prasad is being served, the spiritual master is supposed to call each and every disciple to come eat. If by chance the spiritual master forgets to call a disciple to partake of the prasad, it is enjoined in the scriptures that the student should fast on that day rather than accept food on his own initiative. There are many such strictures. Sometimes also Krishna went to the forest to collect dry wood for fuel. Forgiving. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite side is known to be forgiving. Lord Krishna's forgiving quality is described in the Shishupal Vada, in connection with his forbidding the killing of Shishupal. King Shishupal was the monarch of the Chedi kingdom, and although he happened to be a cousin of Krishna's, he was always envious of him. Whenever they would meet, Shishupal would try to insult Krishna and call him ill names, as much as possible. In the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, when Shishupal began to call Lord Krishna ill names, Krishna did not care and remained silent. Some of the people at the arena were prepared to kill Shishupal, but Krishna restricted them. He was so forbidding, it is said that when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, the mighty lion immediately replies with his thundering roar. But the lion doesn't care when all the foolish jackals begin to make their less important sounds. Sri Yamunacharya praises Krishna's power of forgiveness with the following statement. My dear Lord Ramachandra, you are so merciful to have excused the crow's clawing on the nipples of Janaki, simply because of this bowing down before you. Once Indra, the king of heaven, assumed the form of a crow and attacked Sita, Janaki, Lord Ramachandra's wife, by striking her on the breast. This was certainly an insult to the universal mother, Sita, and Lord Ramachandra was immediately prepared to kill the crow. But because later on the crow bowed down before the Lord excused his offense. Sri Yamunacharya further says in his prayer that the forgiving power of Lord Krishna is even greater than that of Lord Ramachandra. Because Shishupal was always in the habit of insulting Krishna, not only in one life, but continuously throughout three lives. Still, Krishna was so kind that he gave Shishupal the salvation of merging into his existence. From this, we can understand that the goal of the monist to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme is not a very difficult problem. Persons like Shishupal, who are consistently inimical to Krishna, can also get this liberation. Grave. A person who does not express his mind to everyone, or whose mental activity and plan of action are very difficult to understand, is called grave. After Lord Sri Krishna had been offended by Brahma, Brahma prayed to him to be excused. But in spite of his offering nice prayers to Krishna, Brahma could not understand whether Krishna was satisfied or still dissatisfied. In other words, Krishna was so grave that he did not take the prayers of Brahma very seriously. Another instance of Krishna's gravity is found in connection with his love affairs with Radharani. Krishna was always very silent about his love affairs with Radharani, so much so that Baladev, Krishna's elder brother and constant companion, could not understand the transformations of Krishna on account of his gravity. Right, so even though he sees Radharani and ecstatic emotions are there, he's so grave that even Balaram can't perceive them. Self-satisfied. So are we getting to, maybe, how many are we doing? 33?
38 something.
Oh, okay.
I just removed all the godly qualities and then some others could have been there towards the end.
Okay. Okay.
First 36, they are all directly are
in line with the expert gallant.
After that, the godly qualities come.
Oh, okay. 27. Self-satisfied. A person who is fully satisfied in himself, without any hankering, and who is not agitated even in the presence of serious cause for distress, is called self-satisfied. An example of Krishna's self-satisfaction was exhibited when he, Arjuna and Bhima, went to challenge Jarasandha, the formidable king of Magadha. And Krishna gave all credit to Bhima for the killing of Jarasandha. From this we can understand that Krishna never cares at all for fame, although no one can be more famous. An example of his not being disturbed was shown when Shishupal began to call him ill names. All the kings and Brahmins assembled at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Yudhishthira became perturbed and immediately wanted to satisfy Krishna by offering nice prayers. But all these kings and Brahmins could not discover any disturbance in Krishna's person. Possessing equilibrium.
It seems quite interesting for an expert gallant to be self-satisfied.
It has to be, because how many crazy things go on? People saying this and that or other things, or, the girls are going to be always moving in the mentality. And if he's satisfied, then it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's not that they're upset, so now, he's not going to enjoy himself. No, he's very self-satisfied.
When he's satisfied inside himself, without needing to have a relationship.
Yeah, and so then the relationship is then a positive thing.
Yes.
But if it's a need, then you're dependent. This is your independence. So that's the whole point, is because you act as someone who is following, but at the same time it's obvious from other aspects that you're not. And so that keeps the relationship very, very, very dynamic. Because as soon as you feel you're completely in control, it loses interest. Does that make sense? So if there's always that, you never quite have control, but the person acts perfectly as if you do, but you don't, then there's always that, this is one of the ones that's really not understood.
Yes.
Like that. So that's why Prabhupada says first-class brahmachari makes a first-class grihastha. Because he is satisfied in that. So then he can deal very nicely. He could just do his duties in that and interact how he should. And he's undisturbed by whatever goes on, because of the modes of nature. So that's the point. The saintly person can be can be a renunciate. The person can be a grihastha. They could be a problem. They could be anything. There's not a problem. Like Narad Muni's not worried that, why, you're still a brahmachari? You know, everybody else is a sannyasi. Well, you know, he couldn't care less. Yeah, so like that. It's like brahmacharis. Can they live in the house of the guru? Right? Is their family there? Yeah. So he can go anywhere. But a sannyasi can't do that. So it's actually, for his preaching, it's better. But you're not going to find anyone who's a better sannyasi in mentality than Narad Muni. So, possessing equilibrium. A person who is unaffected by attachment and envy is said to possess equilibrium. An example of Krishna's equilibrium is given in the 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with his chastising Kaliya, the hundred-headed serpent. While Kaliya was being severely punished, all of his wives appeared before the Lord and prayed as follows. Dear Lord, you have descended to punish all kinds of demoniac living creatures. Our husband, this Kaliya, is a greatly sinful creature, and so your punishment for him is quite appropriate. We know that your punishment is for your enemies, that your punishment for your enemies and your dealings with your sons are both the same. We know that it is in thinking of the future welfare of this condemned creature that you have chastised him. So that's the basis. It's not angry and this and that. It'll be through that medium, but it's not. Because then you see Kaliya gets purified and he becomes a devotee.
Yes.
Right? So then, yeah. Magnanimous. Any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. When Krishna was reigning over Dwarka, he was so magnanimous and charitably disposed that there was no limit to his charity. In fact, so great was his charity in Dwarka that even the spiritual kingdom, with all of its opulence of chintamani, touchstone, desire trees, and sarabikas, was surpassed. In the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are sarabikas which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits as much as they may desire. The land is made of touchstones, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still when Krishna was in Dwarka, his charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. Whenever Krishna is present, his limitless opulence of Goloka and Vrindavan is automatically present. Because in majesty, then he'll manifest all that. Because otherwise, then the magnanimity then in Vrindavan is just his loving relationships. That aspect. It is also stated that while Lord Krishna was living in Dwarka, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, and each and every expansion resided in a palace with a queen. Not only was Krishna happily living with his queens in those palaces, but he was giving in charity from each palace an aggregate number of 13,054 cows, completely decorated with nice clothing and ornaments. From each of Krishna's 16,108 palaces, these cows were being given in charity by Krishna every day. No one can estimate the value of such a large number of cows given in charity, but that was the system of Krishna's daily affairs while he was reigning in Dwarka. So 13,054 times 16,108, that's how many he gave every day, and he was doing that every day.
Are you still doing?
Yeah, it's always here, of course. I need some cows.
Nicely decorated with clothing and ornaments.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And it was a fort.
Sorry?
It was a fort. And that's like an island?
Yes.
Yeah, where all those cows?
And that's why it's a spiritual world. It's unlimited. That's just to give it a, you know.
An idea?
Yeah. You know, because you're in a fort, it gives a particular flavor, but it doesn't mean it's not unlimited. Like Vrindavan is just a village, but it's not that it's not unlimited. So. Religious. A person who personally practices the tenets of religion, as they are enjoined in Shastras, and who also teaches others the same principles is called religious. Simply professing a kind of faith is not a sign of religiousness. One must act according to religious principles, and by his personal example, he should teach others. Such a person is to be understood as religious. Now, you see, Krishna Prabhupada very nicely gives a very clear definition. Right? And then after that, you get an example. But first you have the definition. So the definition is very exact. When Krishna was present on this planet, there was no irreligion. In this connection, Narad Muni once addressed Krishna jokingly. My dear Lord of the cowherd boys, your bulls are the representation of religion, are eating grass from the pasturing ground and moving on their four legs, have certainly eaten up all the grasses of irreligion. In other words, by the grace of Krishna, religious principles were so well cared for that hardly any irreligious activities could be found. Heroic. A person who is very enthusiastic in military activities and expert in releasing different kinds of weapons is called heroic. Right? So if he's just expert in weapons, or he's just enthusiastic. So you see, it has to be that combination. That's what makes the hero. You know, because they'll say the hero is the one who does the biggest. No, that's not it. It has to be with the enthusiastic. And so many people are enthusiastic, that doesn't make them the hero. Regarding Krishna's heroism in fighting, there is the following statement. My dear killer of the enemy, just as the elephant, while taking bath in the lake, destroys all the lotus stems within the water by swinging its trunk, so simply by moving your arms, which are compared to the trunks of elephants, you have killed so many lotus-like enemies. Regarding Krishna's expertise in releasing weapons, when Jarasandha and the 13 divisions of soldiers attacked Krishna's army, they were unable to hurt even one soldier on the side of Krishna. This was due to Krishna's expert military training. This is unique in the history of military art. Right, so not one person was injured at all. Right, nothing, not a scratch, nothing.
And it was thousands of people, no?
Sorry?
It was thousands of fighters.
Yeah, but on his side, there were, no, but he went out with a, he didn't go out with so big of an army, but in any case, you know, if you go out with a small army and the others has a big army, you expect that, you know, there's going to be a lot of trouble. But he killed the whole other side, and his people didn't get even a scratch. Compassionate. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited when he released all of the kings imprisoned by Magadendra. While dying, Grandfather Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magadendra were put into dark cells, and when Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as if the sun had risen. In other words, though Magadendra was able to imprison so many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released. Krishna released the kings out of a sincere compassion for them. Respectful. Person who shows adequate respect to a spiritual master, a Brahmin and an old person, is to be understood as being respectful. When superior persons assembled before Krishna, Krishna first of all offered respect to his spiritual master, then to his father, and then to his elder brother, Balaram. In this way, Lord Krishna, the lotus-eyed, was completely happy and pure at heart in all of his dealings. Right? So the spiritual master, then the father, then the elder brother. So he knows the etiquette and how to deal like that. And so you see also when he comes into Dwarka, you know, then when he comes in, then, you know, how he respects those, the Brahmins, and there's the leaders of, you know, the Kshatriyas and the leaders of the people, you know, and all these things, and like, you know, all the way down to everybody. So he was able to reciprocate with everybody. 34, gentle. Any person who neither becomes impudent nor exhibits a puffed up nature is called gentle. The example of Krishna's gentle behavior was manifested when he was coming to the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice, arranged by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Krishna's older cousin. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was attempting to get down from his chariot to receive Krishna. But before Yudhishthira could get down, Lord Krishna got down from his own chariot and immediately fell at the feet of the king. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never forgets to show social etiquette in his dealings. So he's the elder cousin, so he's an elder brother. So he offers his respects to him. Even though Yudhishthira was as the Supreme Lord and he's a servant. But the social etiquettes Krishna follows. That's all part of the pastime. Otherwise, then all you have, if you don't follow like that, then all you have is Vaikuntha, where he's God and everybody worships like that and that's it. So all these other relationships expand because of that being controlled by the rasa of the devotee. And so therefore, depending upon the rasa, then he reciprocates. So Yudhishthira is the elder cousin, so therefore he reciprocates like that. Liberal. Any person who is by his natural nature very mild is called liberal. Yeah, so mildness is liberality. Right. So sometimes the liberals yell and scream a lot and consider themselves liberal. But here, this is what it's meant. The very natural behavior is very mild. Natural behavior. Not that his natural behavior is nice, but he can put that on. I think that's, I'm not sure. I think that's that may be the heron or the cat. I can't remember. And Manu describes Brahmins who act like a heron or a cat. So one of them, they're very nasty and all that, but they can act very, very nicely when they need to. Like Shakuni. You see him, very nasty person. The things that he says to get Yudhishthira involved in the gambling, terrible, terrible things. But then when he sees it starts to go wrong, oh, he's so sweet-tongued. You know, just like that. No, it's just, you know, I was just saying these things to create the mood, you know, we're Kshatriyas, we're friends, you know. We're just trying to, you know, get some, you know, taste here, and so that's all. You know, just, and so then they pull back. And then as soon as he can, immediately he's in there, you know, with a knife. So we're not talking that. It means his natural behavior is very mild. So Yudhishthira, his natural behavior is very mild. You know, like that. So here, Krishna's behavior is very mild. Because he has all those nice personality aspects. You know, so you see is that boldness, and there's that aspect, and all these others. So all the different ones are there. The Dhiro Datta, Dhiro Lalita, Dhiro Prashanta, Dhiro Datta, right? Does that make sense? A statement by Uddhava after the Shamanchaka jewel plundering, confirms that Krishna is so kind and favorable that if a servant is accused even of great offenses, Krishna does not take this into consideration. He simply considers the service that is rendered by his devotee. So that's liberal. Right? So you can see is that the modern concept of liberal is not liberal. Basically, liberal simply means they don't like tradition. And conservative means they like tradition. Yes. So therefore, conservative means they follow traditional authority, while liberal means they don't follow traditional authority. But the idea that they're able to acknowledge any kind of service, anything good, and give up any unfavorable view of someone, that they don't have. Very rare. It means if someone has like that, then that's to be appreciated. But in general, those who call themselves liberal are not. It's a political position. It's not a character position. They're not liberal by character. They're liberal by political position. So sometimes, if we get these confused, we think the political position of the liberals is what we should be doing as devotees because we're supposed to be liberal. But it doesn't mean that. Shy. A person who sometimes exhibits humility and bashfulness is called shy. As described in the Lalita Madhava, Krishna's shyness was manifested when he lifted Govardhan Hill by the little finger of his left hand. All of the gopis were observing Krishna's wonderful achievement, and Krishna also was also smiling at seeing the gopis. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, his hand began to shake. And upon seeing his hand shake, all of the cowherd men underneath the hill became a little disturbed. Then there was a tumultuous roaring sound, and they all began to pray to Krishna for safety. At this time, Lord Balaram was smiling, thinking that these cowherd men had been frightened by the shaking of Govardhan Hill. But seeing Balaram smile, Krishna thought that Balaram had understood his mind in observing the breasts of the gopis, and immediately became bashful. 40. Controlled by love. Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. Yeah, so it means the service rendered, that's through that as the medium, and so therefore the credit will be given through that, but it's actually that service attitude, that loving spirit, that's what pleases Krishna. No one can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete and self-sufficient that he has no need of any service from any devotee, or service from the devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. Right, that's it. It's not what he does. Very nice example of this obligatory behavior was manifest when Sudama Vipra went to Krishna's palace. Sudama Vipra had been a class friend of Krishna's, and due to his poverty, he was induced by his wife to see Krishna to request some aid. When Sudama Vipra reached Krishna's palace, Krishna received him very well, and both he and his wife washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, showing respect to the Brahmana. Remembering his loving affairs with Sudama in their childhood, Krishna began to shed tears while receiving him. Yeah, controlled by love. 46. Very attractive to all women. Any person who has special qualifications becomes immediately very attractive to women. A devotee made the following statement about the queens of Dwarka. How shall I describe the glories of the queens of Dwarka who are personally engaged in the service of the Lord? The Lord is so great that simply by chanting his name, all the great sages like Narada can enjoy transcendental bliss. So what can be said about those queens who are at every moment seeing the Lord and serving him personally? Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka, and each and every one of them was attracted to Krishna just as iron is attracted by a magnet. There is a statement by a devotee, "My dear Lord, you are just like a magnet, and all the damsels of Braja are just like iron. In whichever direction you are moving, they are following you, as iron is attracted by magnetic force." 64. In the third canto, second chapter, verse 12 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava tells Vidura, "My dear sir, Krishna's form was most wonderful when he appeared on this planet and exhibited the potency of his internal energy. His wonderful, attractive form was present during his pastimes on this planet, and by his internal potency, he exhibited his opulence, which are striking to everyone. His personal beauty was so great that there was no necessity for his wearing ornaments on his body. In fact, instead of the ornaments beautifying Krishna, Krishna's beauty enhanced the ornaments." End of description of Lord Krishna's qualities from NOD. Okay, so we can see is Krishna is the original. He's the one where, that's where the natural position is from. So in the material world, someone may have that interest or that kind of attitude here, but he still has to follow the same system because it's Krishna's established how it works. He established how everything works. That's why in drama you can say, this emotion does this, this person does this, this kind of activity is done like this, because these are according to the laws given by Krishna. So it's not that, okay, well, that's one way to do it. No, that is the way to do it. You can adjust from there if you like, but your effectiveness will become less and less. Or maybe it's for a specific audience. Right? It means if your audience is all kangaroos, you might be doing the drama in a slightly different way than you would for humans. So,
Okay. Ash, can you say that in the spiritual world, every devotee has these qualities to To some degree.
To some degree. Yeah, but the 64th is specifically one of Krishna's qualities. So we have 50 of the 64. And so to a small degree. You know, because much of those in between are he's, you know, creating universes and, you know, lying down and sleeping in yoga nidra and, you know, things like that. So those ones aren't mentioned. But did you get the one he follows Shastra? He does everything according to Shastra?
Yes.
That was one of the ones we read?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Verse 9 through 17. Qualities of a female messenger. A wise woman, female storyteller, a female aesthetic, or a woman who is a stage performer. An intelligent woman, a female neighbor, a female friend, a maidservant, an unmarried girl. A craftswoman, a foster mother, a nun, or a female fortune teller can be employed as a female messenger. Mm-hmm. Right, within these they could do, because others can't. The queen, can she go and do this?
Mm-hmm.
She walks around, everyone's going to, you know, be coming along. You know, she's going, the entourage goes. She can't be a messenger, or the one, where is she going? But these people, they move around, and no one will say anything. Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. You know, it's just no one minds. So that's why these are the ones who would be messengers, no one else. A wise person should never engage as a messenger any person who is foolish, beautiful, wealthy, or diseased. Any woman should be engaged as a messenger when she knows the art of encouraging the beloved, is sweet in her words, honest, able to act suitably to the occasion, charming in her behavior, and is able to keep secrets. She should encourage the beloved one by mentioning the various causes and should communicate the exact words of the latter and describe his condition. Here, knows the art of, okay, be able to act suitably to the occasion, because the message is there, but when you get to the place where the message to be given, the situation might be very different than what was expected. So they have to be expert to be able to deliver the message despite the situation. You know, so they have to very much know the mood and everything like that. Does that make sense? You know, so yeah. Yeah, because they have to be clever. So they can't be foolish. But beautiful, wealthy, or diseased. Overly beautiful, overly dressed. So, in other words, someone who's the messenger is just going to dress regularly, like that. Wealthy are also not going to show too much. You can't take someone who is wealthy and then do that, because everybody will notice them also. Diseased, of course, then people are going to know what's with him, why he's coughing so much. You know, where's his mask? You know, that kind of stuff. You know. You're going to have those problems. Besides, female messenger should make an exaggerated statement about his birth, wealth, and speak freely about the purpose of her visit. Probably besides a comma and then a female messenger, no? Not besides a female messenger, then somebody else, maybe like you sent your Labrador or, you know, something like that. The messenger, yeah. It should speak freely about the purpose. It should be very obvious what the purpose is. It may be done very nicely. They know how to how to encourage, how to do all these things, you know, how to keep secrets, how to do, you know, everything they all have to be able to do. But at the same time, it has to be obvious what it is, you know, according to the situation. The messenger should, in various ways, bring about for the man a union with a woman who is in love for the first time, or a beloved woman who has been angry with him. The first meeting of men with women may be made during a festive night, in her house, in a park, in the house of a kinsman, a foster mother, or a female friend, or in a dinner party, or on the pretext of seeing a sick person, or in an empty house. Because otherwise, in the drama, you have these are your options. You can't, you wouldn't use other places. Does that make sense? Verses 18 to 35. Three kinds of disposition of women towards their beloved. After meeting a woman in one of these various ways, one should carefully observe from different marks whether she is attracted or the opposite. A woman excessively overcome with love. The woman who from her natural feelings is smitten with love and does not conceal her amorous behavior at the sight of the beloved is said to be overcome with love. Madanatura, an attached woman. When a woman speaks of her lover's good qualities to a friend, gives him her own money, honors his friends, hates his enemies, seeks to unite with him, becomes much pleased to see him, looks pleased after a talk about him, sleeps after he has slept, kisses after he has kissed her, rises in the morning before he gets up, puts up with suffering for his sake, remains the same in happiness and misery, and never becomes angry, she is said to be attached. Anu rakta. These indicate her characteristics. A hostile woman. The characteristics of a hostile woman are as follows. When kissed, she wipes off her mouth, speaks unpleasant words, becomes angry even when sweet words have been spoken to her, hates his friends, praises his enemies, lies down on the bed with her back turned against him, goes to bed first, is never pleased even after a great deal of honor has been shown her, never puts up with suffering, becomes angry without provocation, does not look at him or greet him. The woman who betrays these signs should be marked as hostile, virakta. So winning back, sums it up. Winning back of a woman's heart. The following measures may lead to, because this hostile woman here, means why will it be dealt with? It'll be someone who he has a relationship with or like that. You can see otherwise, why are these things there? You know, he has a relationship, but then something's gone wrong, so now it's gone, she's now behaving in a hostile way. You know, it's just like when Arjuna came to visit Draupadi after coming back from his, you know, being out for a year. Then Draupadi says, oh, why you've come? You know, he says, you know, then you come here, then the Subhadra, you know, says your new wife, whatever it is, she'll be feeling separation from you and all that. You wouldn't want to give her so much suffering and all that because you always take care of everybody and all that. So, you know, you should quickly go to her now. Yeah, she's behaving as a hostile woman. With that. So how to adjust that? Following measures may lead to the winning back of a woman's heart. Display of wealth, showing of goodwill, proposal of giving money, actually giving money, pretending to give her up and making gestures of attachment. Bavo pa shepa, from near.
So basically money.
money, goodwill, and showing that he's thinking of giving her up, but has all the symptoms that he's not, that he's attached. Yeah, basically money. Yes, that's it. Display of wealth.
Giving money.
Proposal of giving money. Actually giving money.
Three out of five.
Yeah, and then showing goodwill, which is then the attitude. So that you could say four.
Money.
Yeah, yeah. So you could say four out of five. Yeah.
Very practical.
Very practical. Causes of hostility. A man or woman becomes hostile to the lover due to poverty, disease, misery, harshness, want of learning, going abroad, offended self-esteem, excessive greed, transgression of good conduct, coming back late at day or night, and resorting to undesirable acts. Okay, so yeah. So what's that? Acts winning women's hearts. In connection with love, one's acts should be capable of winning the heart of women. By these acts, a woman can be pacified and won over. A covetous woman should be won over by making her a gift of money. A learned woman by knowledge of arts. A clever woman by sportfulness. A sensitive woman. Huh? Okay, we'll go back. It keeps going, so. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.